2022. So, you know, I've just been hitting some topics. You know, I'm not pulling rabbits out of hat, but I've really prayed about that, hitting topics that will help us start strong and stay strong all the way through 2022. So last week, if you have your Bible, open up or write this down, 2 Timothy chapter 2, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2. So continuing with start strong, stay strong, we read this verse, and it's all about a soldier. It's this idea of about a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And, you know, when I've been studying this for a couple months now, and the first time, you know, you read it, and you're like, yeah, that's cool, and you read it, and yeah, that's cool. And then one time I'm reading it, and I'm like, that is the oddest group of people you'd put together, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Like, what's the story behind that? Well, I'm telling you, if Paul wrote it and put it in the scriptures, there is a reason we need to understand while they're put together. So, last week, we started talking about the soldier. And we said soldiers, typically speaking, when I think of a soldier, I think of somebody that's really disciplined. They're really disciplined, and they have a special cause because they're soldiers, they're military, and they also have a special attitude. And we talked about that last week. And then God compares us to soldiers. God compares us to soldiers. And I'm like, did you look at this? No, he compares us to soldiers. So he wants us to work in his kingdom. He wants us to be disciplined like a soldier in his kingdom as we're walking on the planet. So soldiers. If you missed last week, please go listen online. But today we're going to tackle the athlete. We're going to talk about the athlete. And some of you might be thinking, not, right? And you're like, God, I'm not sure I'm going to get the comparison out of this. Well, how many of you know about athletes, right? At least you know some, all right? And I'm not talking about being athletic. I'm talking about being an athlete. And, you know, it's really interesting. There's some people in some sports, and they are like, whoa, they are the athletes, right? So Paul's talking about athletes, and he wants us, believers, raise your hand if you're a believer. He's talking to us. He wants us to be like a soldier, be like an athlete, and be like a farmer, all right? Now, when I'm reading that, I start asking questions, you know, like the two-year-old, why? I love two-year-olds. They just challenge you with everything. So I'm asking God, why? Why am I supposed to be like a soldier? Why am I supposed to be like an athlete? Why am I supposed to be like a farmer? What's it have to do with me? Better yet, how do I take this into my life? Because God has compared us to a soldier and an athlete and a farmer. So how do I take this in my life? So you all at 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. So my children, draw your strength from the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Take things you heard me say in front of many other witnesses and pass them on to faithful people who are also capable of teaching. Verse 3, accept your share of suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. All right? So last week, without getting into a lot of details, because you're going to go back and look at your notes or you're going to go back and listen to it, we talked about there are some things we're going to suffer. Well, there's some things we're going to suffer while we're on this earth. Now, as Americans especially, we don't like this idea of suffering. And I'm pretty sure nobody likes this idea of suffering. Raise your hand if you want to be suffering. No, your mama raised you to be smart, okay? But as a believer, there are some things we are going to be suffering, and we talked a lot about that last week. But it's not, oh, God caused me to be in a car accident so I can suffer for him. That is not what it's talking about, all right? First off, God's always trying to protect you. He's always trying to protect you, all right? So that's not what it's talking about. Somebody said, well, you know, I just got this doctor's report, so I guess I'm going to suffer so I can be a witness for the Lord Jesus. Phooey, I'm telling you. Listen, what is it? Matthew 7:11. If you, being evil people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you what you ask for, okay? So God is not evil. He's not trying to put things on you. As a matter of fact, he's always good. He's called what? Jehovah Rapha, the healer, Jehovah Jireh, the provider, Jehovah Shalom, your peace, Jehovah Sitkenu, your righteousness. He's God. He's good. So that is not what he's talking about, suffering. All right, go listen to last week. Moving on to verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Nobody who serves in the military gets tied up. And we looked at that word last week, and it means entangled. Entangled, all right? Nobody gets entangled with civilian matters so that they can please the one who recruited them, okay? So jumping down to verse 5, and this is where we want to get to today, verse 5, ready? Also in the same way. Okay, so what is he talking about in the same way? Well, the verse before, the military, if you're in the military, if you're in the soldier in the military, you are not going to get entangled with the stuff of a civilian. So he's saying, as a athlete in the same way. That's what it means, okay? Let's keep reading. Also in the same way, athletes don't win unless they follow the rules. Okay, did you hear that? Athletes don't win unless they follow the rules. So a couple years ago, somebody made a statement, and I went Googling. And did you know there are people who have been Olympians who have lost their medals, stripped of their medals, a lot of them because they cheated? I'm smiling, yeah, all right? They cheated. So, they lost their medals because they cheated. So let me bring this to this. How many of you would say, Pastor D, I like to work out. Or Pastor D, I like to eat really good. And did you know that you can cheat, though? I did it on Friday. We call it a cheat day, right? You can cheat. We call it a cheat day. Anybody cheat on Friday night here? Cheat day, all right? Okay. Okay, better yet. Okay. How many of you at the beginning of the new year, had goals for the beginning of the year? And it's good. It's good. It's time to look and say, well, last year I ended here. You know, I'm going to have some goals for this year. You could have goals for your family. You should have goals for yourself. But how many of you, some of your goals were, I'm going to eat right. I'm going to work out more, right? Okay. Some of those things, okay. Nobody did that? I saw you at the gym. You sure did. Okay. So here's what they say, and I actually know this. Where's my gym buddy back there? January, their gyms are packed. We can't even get a parking place. I mean, I got to walk a half a mile, which is probably a good exercise, all right? January, the gyms are packed, right? And anybody at the gym in January, all right? February, it trickles down. It trickles down a little bit. Okay, people kind of lose interest. March, really, we noticed it this week. March, I didn't have to park in Outer Mongolia, right? I could park here. You know why? I'm done. I did 2 months. Don't raise your hand if that was you, because I was at the gym. I didn't do that, all right? So, as a believer, we are now in God's kingdom, and we are to do things certain ways. Like the soldier, like the athlete, and like the farmer, okay? So athletes are very disciplined. So as believers, I'm smiling while I'm saying this. Some of you are not smiling. So we are supposed to be disciplined. Everybody say discipline. Favorite word with kids, but now I got to do this with me, right? Discipline, all right? So keep reading, verse 6. A heart, and this is where we're going to switch to later on. A hardworking farmer should get the first share of the crop. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will give you understanding about this, okay? So I believe God's got revelation and understanding about all of this for us. Otherwise, we're just going, next. How about we get some understanding about this, right? So I'm going to pray. Okay, close your eyes and bow your heads. All right. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we are asking for understanding, revelation on your word, Father, because we are to be like an athlete. So I thank you that you would speak to us. You just opened this up and everybody said, amen. All right. Go back to verse 5. This is one we're going to camp out. Also, in the same way, athletes don't win unless they follow the rules. All right? If you're taking notes, you can write this down. They'll put it up on the screen. Athletes, especially elite athletes, are known for their discipline. Love that word. Okay? Elite athletes are known for their discipline. Okay? Now, if you are an elite athlete or, you know what, discipline kind of athlete, you would say this: it's too late to train on game day. It is too late to start training on game day, right? If you were an elite athlete, you would get this. So you always hear me talk about my family. I'm one of six, and I had two brothers, and they were 4 years apart. And one Christmas, my parents gave them those big red punching gloves. I learned from that. You don't do that. Anyway, so they got these big punching gloves because back in the day, my brothers got into watching boxing, not like they have now, like, you know, that kind of thing. But they watched the big old heavyweights like Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, okay? Some of you are like, who are they? Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, the big old heavyweight champions, okay? So I'm going to take my story with this. Just suppose they're gonna compete in a boxing match, all right? And Joe is like, you know, I've had my title. I got this. I'm not going to train too much this time because, you know, see my belt, all right? And Muhammad's like disciplined, consistent, disciplined, training, training, training for this big fight, okay? Game day, fight starts, and about 2 seconds later, pow, Muhammad knocks Joe Frazier out. Bam, just like that. And later on, Joe says, you know, I didn't train much because I thought I could beat the guy. All right? So, Pastor D, cute story. What does that have to do with us? Well, guys, as athletes, we need to train. We need to train. You just can't show up game day and start training, right? All right? So what does this look like? Because God is comparing us to an athlete. What does this look like in our life? If you're taking notes, write this down. Here we go. Athletes discipline their mind and their body. Now, they don't discipline their spirit, but they discipline their minds and their bodies. Everybody say discipline. Ah, minds and bodies. Now, if you know this if you're really an athlete, and I'm not, and I even know this, they know that it's tempting not to train, not to show up at the gym, right? They know it's tempting not to train, okay? Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you probably know it. You're going to be tempted not to do what the Bible says, not to do the scriptures that you're reading. You are tempted. I don't know about you, I'm tempted, okay? In other words, like, maybe sometimes you're tempted to cheat. Maybe sometimes you're tempted to cheat on your finances, tempted to just maybe, you know, cheat a little bit on your income tax return, which are due April 15th. You can file extensions, all right? Or maybe you're just tempted to cheat on a relationship, all right? So you can be tempted to do those things, okay? Now, here's the cool thing. God doesn't disqualify us when we've been dishonest. Now, an athlete, you can lose your medals if you're caught for cheating, right? But God loves us. He doesn't disqualify us if we don't read our Bible. He doesn't disqualify us if we mess up here, okay? He is a good, good God. But what happens is you may not be living the best that God has for you. Because you're doing this. You're not, matter of fact, you may not, you are not. You're not going to live the best that God has for you. God has got good plans for your life. But if you're tempted to not to apply the word, not to do what the word of God says, cheat, you may not be living God's best. So everybody smile at me. Y'all look so happy today. Praise God, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I want to win. I want to win in God's kingdom. I want to win in this race that we're running like an athlete. And by the way, we are not running against each other. We are not trying to race against each other. I'm in a race. You're in a race. And in my race, I'm trying to do the things God's called me to do. My race. I'm trying to do all the things that God's called me to do. And as a matter of fact, I want to cross the finish line successfully. Okay? That means no cheat. Okay? I want to cross the finish line successfully, and I want to grab people with me to cross the finish line. How many of you want to grab other people with you to cross the finish line? Okay? So how does this idea of an athlete work? I'm glad you asked. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here we go. Where's Brian? Is he down teaching downstairs? Brian Coker. You said two things that I was going to say, and you used my scriptures. I was like, dog, we are on the path. We have heard from God. Just had to say that. I was excited. Okay, now where am I? Okay, over here, okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself cause you to be completely dedicated to him, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept intact and blameless at our Lord Jesus Christ's coming. All right. So here's what I know. We're talking about spirit, soul, and body. But for an athlete needs to train his mind and he needs to train his body. There is a mind training to being an athlete. There really is, okay? So your mind and your body. Now, it's amazing what your body will do if you train it. It's just amazing, right? When you just put a little bit of pressure and say, I'm going to go train this body, it's just amazing what your body will do. How many of you ever watched The Biggest Loser? All right. The big boys come rolling in. They're massive, right? But by the end, you're like, whoa, they are totally transformed, right? So it's amazing what your body can do. It's amazing, okay, what your body can do if you're an older person, right? If you put some pressure on it, if you start being disciplined with the body, I'm not ready to go like this, but it's amazing what your body can do. All right, some of you aren't smiling at me. But listen, here's what you need to know. You and I, as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, okay, you are going to have to discipline your body and your mind. And it's amazing what happens. Praise God. So I want to give you three things that Paul talks about in that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 about our spirit, about our soul, and about our body. I'm going to give you three things, okay? And three things that we need to train with our spirit, soul, and body, okay? Three things we need to do. So do you think we just show up on Sunday and, woohoo, body train, mind train? How about you just show up on Sunday and you read the scriptures? Woohoo, body trained, mind train. No. Doesn't work that way. Amen. All right. So, three things. And the first thing that we need to do is with our spirit, okay? And the first thing we need to do is feed our spirit. Everybody say, feed our spirit. All right. My pastor from long, long time ago, my just delightful pastor used to say this: people feed their bodies three meals a day, three solid meals a day, but they feed their spirits one cold snack a week. That's sad, okay? So what do you do when your stomach starts grumbling? Feed it. What do you do, okay, when your body needs to be fed? Feed it, okay. In the natural, we feed it, okay? Your spirit needs to be fed just like your body. Your spirit needs to be fed like your body, okay? Now, really transparent today. So in January, I had to do my yearly physical, and, you know, they draw blood, and I was waiting for the phone call after I did. Matter of fact, so I had my physical in January, and I procrastinated on the blood work for 2 months. Because I kind of knew some things. So I get the phone call after I do the blood work, and my dear, it's a nurse practitioner called me up. She goes, Dee, I said, I was waiting for you to call. She said, you know, some of these levels, I know. And I said, just wait till next year. Okay, she goes, watch those carbs, watch those sugars. So I was doing good until cheat night, all right? So another thing. So, and we had some, she laughs and I laugh, and let's talk about diet, because that's what she's talking about. So there's all kinds of diets. Anybody ever been on the South Beach diet? Anybody ever been on the Mediterranean diet? Anybody ever been on the keto diet? And then there's this new one. It's called the intermittent fasting diet. And that means, like, at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night, you stop eating. Stop eating for 12 to 18 hours, depending, okay? All right, because it puts your body into burn mode, all right? So there's different kinds of diets, all right? And now I'm not telling you what I'm on, okay? But here's what I found out. If I start making changes, watch those carbs and sugars. And I was off of sugar. I was actually off of sugar for 3 weeks. And by the way, I had a headache coming off of sugar for almost 2 weeks, okay? So anyway, I was doing good until cheat night, okay, but I'm done. But here's what I found out. It changes, you start changing things. It changes your body, right? It changes your body. You start feed it the right things, it starts changing your body. I'm shrinking. You just watch it. Amen. Okay, but everything starts to change when you start feeding it the right way, But I think there's Christians that have diets on the Word of God. Oh, I'm on the diet plan of once a month with my Bible, Pastor D. Oh, I'm on the diet plan with my Bible reading and hanging out with God and worshiping like once a week. Well, how's that working for you? Don't ask me, because I will tell you. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, okay? So you need the Word of God, and by the way, you need it every day. You need it every day. And some people will pastor, okay, anyway, need it every day. New scripture, be nice, Pastor D. Ready? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Love this scripture, Brian. High five it. We were just on the page, all right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Ready? Like newborn babies. He's not calling you a baby. He says, like newborn babies, okay? You should long for the pure milk of the word, okay? You should draw long like the pure milk of the word. So I'm thinking, I'm driving along and I'm thinking about this. So if you're supposed to have pure milk, then that must be there's some impure milk, right? I just get these thoughts when I'm driving. So if he's saying you should desire pure milk, well, maybe there's stuff called impure milk. Well, can I tell you, if you keep reading your Bible, I guarantee you, read your Bible, it's pure milk. You don't have to worry about impure stuff. Just read your Bible. It is pure milk, okay? So here we go. Keep going. So that by you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation. It's ultimate fulfillment, okay? So there's a lot of Christians that have been Christians for a long time, like 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And, you know, I hear them say this a lot, and I'm going to smile. You know, Pastor D., don't give me any of that milk. I'm a meat person. I'm like, whoa, you. Like, really? First off, let me tell you what milk is, the milk of the word. Everybody say milk of the word. Okay, milk of the word. Here we go. It's everything that God says about who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what Christ has done for you. That, ta-da, is the milk of the word. Now, none of you ever said that to me, but I just thought I'd give you the face, okay? So all those things that God has done for you is the milk of the word. How many want the milk of the word? It's good stuff. Like that baby, okay? All right, now. So let me give you an example, okay? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's the milk, all right? And it's telling you what you should do. You want to know what the meat of the word is there? Loving your wife as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He died for the church. So what does that mean? It means that you put your wife in this first place, this special place. Okay, quiet. I'll keep moving on. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Moving on. Like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of the word, so that by doing it, you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation, okay? So if I'm going to grow spiritually, if I'm going to be like an athlete spiritually like Paul's talking, guess what I have to do? I have to feed my spirit daily, 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 all right? Some days, I probably read about 2 hours throughout the day. But not on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, because I am in this office, all right? So I catch like about, I won't tell you what I read in the morning, so you don't feel guilty. Wink, wink. All right, so I catch snippets of it throughout the day. Amen. All right, now, I don't know how many people, when I say you need to read your Bible every day, go, Pastor D, I just can't. You don't understand, Pastor D. I can't. I don't have time. I can't. I can't. I can't. Well, you know what? I talked to some of these people, none of you here, and it's like, I want to tell you what they do know. They do know their favorite baseball team. They know all the stats on everybody on their team. They know how many scores and home runs. They just know everything about their team. They know, they know, they know. But if I ask them, what do you know about the Word of God? Oh, Pastor D, I don't know. I don't understand that. I read my Bible, it just don't click. Well, you know what that is? It's not. That's a sorry excuse. Amen? Somebody say amen. Or oh my, what do they say? That's an excuse why you don't read your Bible. Okay, listen. Your Bible, when you read it, will click when you start saying, Father, this is your word. Open the eyes of my understanding so I might understand it. Give me revelation. I thank you. I am going to put effort. I am going to be disciplined every day. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. It's clicking. Amen. You know what? You start doing that. Do you know what happens to your spirit, man? It's getting nourished. It's getting nourished and it's growing. And that's exactly what God wants you to do. He wants to nourish your spirit, man. So, amen. Okay, moving along. So we're talking about our spirit, our soul, and our body, okay? And we're talking about being like an athlete, okay? Now, if an athlete is going to be a good athlete, they are going to discipline their mind and their body, right? They're going to feed their body good stuff. You see these top-notch athletes, and you find out what they eat. It's not hot dogs. They weren't here eating at Martables on Friday night, okay? They are very purposeful with their body, and they're also very purposeful, disciplined with their mind, okay? So I have to say this, though. So we are going to feed our spirit the Word of God. We need to feed it every day. Some days you get 15 minutes. I can remember locking myself in the bathroom when I had little kids so I could get 5 minutes to read my Bible. That was before you could just press an app, okay? So, but I people tell me this all the time. I said, well, you know, Pastor D, but I listen to so-and-so all the time, okay? I listen to this preacher all the time. Did you read your Bible? No, but I listen to this preacher. And listen, I am glad you're here today listening to the preacher, but how about you go home and check it out and you go study it, amen? You need to study this. It's not just, praise God, Pastor D, good preaching, okay? So moving along, you need to feed yourself daily. Everybody say daily. So right now, I'm actually feeding you. But you need to feed yourself daily. And I'm not coming home with you. You don't want me. Okay, feed yourself daily. Okay, second thing we're talking about is spirit, soul, and body. Second thing that we need to do so we can be like this athlete. Ready? We need to renew our mind. We need to renew our mind, okay? So our spirits, we feed them our mind, we need to renew them. And guess what we feed our spirit? The Word of God. Guess how we renew our mind? With the Word of God. How awesome. I didn't have to think of something else, right? Word of God. So turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Ready? So how do we feed our spirit? It's through God's Word. How do we feed, renew our mind? Through God's Word. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Conform means don't be molded to the world around you. Don't be molded, okay? So don't be conformed to the blah, blah, blah. Don't be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by what? Renewing your mind. So Paul's saying, hey, you need to renew your mind. You need to renew your mind. No things about it. Now, how many of you noticed that it doesn't matter how long you've been received Jesus into your life, that you're born again, that you're a follower of Jesus, how many of you found out that you still need to do something with your mind? I still have to do something with my mind. I was like, God, I really thought by now, I got it. Because, I've been walking with, no, I still have to renew my mind. And this is what I found out, probably me, none of you. But if I don't renew my mind, if I am not in the Word daily, okay, one, I get ugly. Two, I get mean. But you know what that means? I go back to the way I was before I accepted Jesus. Amen. And it's not a good place to say amen, but that's what happens, right? You are not renewing. Yeah, it happens to me. It didn't happen to anybody else. But this is what happens to me. If I am not renewing my mind, I will go back. And I will say things. And I will do things, all right? So, any of you ever get mad at somebody? Get angry at somebody? Right? And you just want to punch their lights out? I used to say rip their hair out, smash their face in the wall, but that sounds so sadistic, so I'm not saying that anymore. But you know what that means? That old guy is trying to bubble up. Yeah, your flesh, that's what the Bible will talk about, we'll get there, is trying to bubble up, all right? Okay, so if your mind is not renewed in the Word of God daily, guess what happens, all right? You want to go back to the old junk before you knew Jesus. Anybody ever have that happen to you? Sure. Okay. But here's the thing. There's hope. Thank God there's hope. And this is the hope. Ready? I feed my spirit the Word of God. I renew my mind with the Word of God. Hallelujah. So I don't have to be punching people's lights out. Okay. Or waving them. You know what? When I'm driving down the road. Praise God. Jot this down. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this. He says, you need to strip off or take off the old man. And he really is. He's actually talking about your mind. He says to strip off or literally take your clothes off. Take off this old man's thinking. Punch their lights out. Okay? Say a few words. All right? So Paul says you need to take off that kind of thinking. Like, take off that victim mentality. Take off that I can't. Take off everybody's after me. They're all against me. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. I'm going to go out and eat worms. All right? He's telling us to take that off. And then, so this is the thoughts. These are thoughts in our brain. Then he says you need to put on something. You need to put on. So you've taken off those thoughts, but then you need to put on. Well, guess what you need to put on? You need to put on the Word of God, all right? You need to put on, how about this? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. I am God's masterpiece. I am beautiful. I am awesome. I am wow, all right? Instead of the victim. Praise God. So what are you doing when you do that? I'm putting on, and I'm doing it by renewing myself in the Word of God. And that's how you do it. All right? Amen. So, do you know what happens when you start putting on and putting on, renewing your mind daily? You start to change in your thinking. I used to be the biggest insecure mess. And thank God for my husband would say things, just things. But it took a long time to take off and put on and put on and put on. And I'm like, big deal. I'm cool. Okay? I changed the way I think. All right? But it's, listen, I'm not no victim. I am a victor in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. But that happens as I continually, every day, would go find this in the Word and go, oh, that's me, glory to God. I'm going to say that, okay? Now, Paul said in verse 5, an athlete is we're supposed to be like an athlete, and he says athletes don't win if they cheat. Athletes don't win if they cheat, all right? Now, in a sense, I am a cheater if... Just me, just stretch. Come on, just go with me, stretch with it. I am a cheater if I am not applying the Word in my life. I am cheating God out of who I am and living the life He wants me to live. Cheater, all right? So, I don't want to cheat. Praise God. So, if I'm going to do the right things with my spirit, I'm going to feed it, all right? And if I'm going to do the right things with my mind, I'm going to be disciplined. I just love that word. I'm going to be disciplined, right? I'm going to be disciplined, and I am going to put the Word of God into me. Therefore, I'm going to be disciplined. Praise God. So I can't think the way I used to think. It's just bad. You won't like me. I don't like me. So what am I going to do? I'm going to strip off and put on the Word of God. Amen. Okay, here's our last one. Now, this one, so we've talked about our spirit. We've talked about our mind. And now we're going to talk about our body, because your body is important. All right, your body's important. Write this down if you're taking notes. We have to starve our flesh of doing wrong desires. We need to starve our flesh of wrong desires. Now, just suppose you binge watch Netflix 24/7 or however long, and you came up and said, Pastor D, I watched all the Fast and Furious movies in one day. Whoa. And I'll go, whoa, great. How's your mind today? How's your body today? I've been guilty, so just say amen too. All right? All righty? So listen, you might not be so you might be thinking, don't go telling me what I can't do and do, Pastor. I don't like people that tell me what I can do and I can't do. Well, then guess what? You don't like God. Because He tells you. He has told you, and if you open it up, He is telling you, all right? He will tell you because He loves you. And He wants you to live a good life, all right? And so He tells us what we should do, and He tells us what we shouldn't do. He tells you what will benefit your life, and He will tell you what won't benefit your life. He does. It's in here, okay? And He will tell you what you need, and sometimes He'll tell you what you don't need. He will tell you. Praise God. He loves you, all right? So that's why this Bible. All right, so back to this. How do I starve my flesh? How do I starve my flesh, okay? How do I starve my flesh from wrong desires? Well, we touched on this last week. You need to crucify your flesh. Write that down, post-it note, stick it wherever you can see it. So that word crucify really means to kill. Pastor D told us we should kill ourselves. No, I didn't. Just pay attention, all right? Don't walk out of here and tell everybody I said to kill yourself. Okay, listen. We need to kill those wrong desires that are in our flesh, and everybody's got them. Punch their light out, wave at them, say some things. I'm not going any farther, okay? We all have them. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 80 years old sitting in this chairs here today, and you can still have some desires like you were 20. That are not good desires, okay? It doesn't change. You know why? Well, this is called our flesh. It's just our flesh. The Bible calls it our flesh nature, and it just wants to do wrong stuff, all righty? So, like, it just wants to punch people out. Everybody say it. I actually do, all right? But don't do that, because you're like an athlete. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, don't anybody say, Pastor D, don't make a punch. No, I didn't, okay? So really, here's the question. Are you going to live like Jesus said to live? Are you going to love like Jesus said to love? Well, Pastor D, you should see what Jesus said to those Pharisees. Those Pharisees were a stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and he spoke strongly to them. He didn't punch their lights out. And matter of fact, Jesus loved so big that he went to dinner with the sinner. Some of you would see me sitting with the sinner at dinner and post it on Facebook. Look at our pastor. No, go love people, okay? All right, smiling. Pastor D, smile, smile, smile. Okay, turn over to 1 Corinthians. I got two more scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Ooh, I love this. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is going to use another example about the athlete. He's using another example about the athlete, all right? Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Don't you know that all runners, that's us, right? We're supposed, right? All runners in the stadium run, but only one gets the prize. So run to win. Run with all your heart. Run with all your might. Run to win. Now, how many of you like to run to lose? How many of you like to compete so you can lose? I don't think so. How many of you are competitive? I didn't think so, but I found out I is so. All right? So you're either on my team or watch out. Why? Why? Because what do we want to do? I want to win, all right? Praise God. Verse 25. Everyone who competes practices self-discipline in everything. Not some things, not a little thing, okay? I am very disciplined to make my bed every day. But how about everything? Just saying. All right. Everyone who competes, that's runners, that's us, like an athlete, practices self-discipline every day. The runners do this to get a crown of leaves, because that was when it was written, that shrivel up and die. But we do it to receive a crown that never dies. Woo, that's good. I love it. I am running in God's kingdom's race. I am running to finish the race. I am running hard because I'm going to win. I love that. Okay. Verse 26, hope that should have made you laugh, excited. Verse 26, so now this is how I run. Not without a clear goal in sight. That's the finish line. And there's the prize. That's the big one, right? I fight like a boxer in the ring. Not like someone who is shadow boxing. Y'all know what shadow boxing is, right? All right, okay. Who am I going to hit when I'm shadow boxing? I'm going this way. Nobody. You know why? Because nobody's there. I'm just, okay, right. Okay, let me give you a better example. How many of you, when you were younger, you used to play the air guitar? Right? The air drums. Right? Anybody do that? You guys, you weren't fun. Air piano keys. Okay, I got one. Okay, so if you play the air guitar, the air drums, the air keys, okay, I just want to know, you are not playing up here. You know why? Because my guitar players, my drummers, and my keyboard people, they practice. That is why they are up there. So you can just happy yourself air guitaring, okay, but you're not up here. And that doesn't count for practice, Lane. All right? You got to really go. Okay. So here we go. So Paul is saying you're not to shadow box. You need to be doing it, doing it. Okay. Verse 27. Here we go. Rather, so we're not to be shadow boxing, just, all right? Rather, I am landing punches on my own body. That's weird. And I am subduing it like a slave. All right? Now, he's not talking about punching yourself. They lock you up if you're doing that. Okay? He's talking about when you tell your flesh no, it's going to feel like you punched yourself. No to doing wrong desires. It's going to feel like, but you're not punching yourself. We'll lock you up. Okay? But it's going to feel like that when you tell your flesh these wrong desires no. All righty? Okay, the rest of that verse says, I do this to be sure that I myself won't be disqualified. after preaching to others. All right. How many of you have seen preachers that are no longer preachers because they did stuff and they fell, right? All right. And he's saying, hey, not just preachers, y'all will be disqualified, all right? Okay, if you don't do what he's saying, all right? So you have to put your flesh under. You have to say no to wrong desires. And sometimes it's going to feel, ouch, it's just not going to feel good. Walking past, sugar, it did not feel good. Now, that's just my body things, but there's things in my mind that I have to go, don't you even say what you're thinking, girl. Say what God says, all right? And it feels like, all right? So what if you and I do this? What if we are like the athlete? What if we renew our mind with the Word of God? What if we feed our spirit the Word of God? What if we crucify our flesh? Okay, you know what that looks like? No, I'm not doing that. Nope, I'm not going to do that because that would be not what God wants me to do. All right, so. And then I had to think, how many preachers, if they would have said, wouldn't have fallen if they would have said no to their flesh. No, I'm not doing that. No, that is not what God wants me to do. No, that is not what the Word of God says. Okay, sure, quiet down here. Last scripture, Galatians, ready? Galatians 5:24. Oh, this is a goodie. Every scripture is a goodie, but you know sometimes I say this. Ready? And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature together with its passions and appetites, okay? Your flesh has an appetite, just like your body has an appetite. Your flesh has an appetite, okay? And your flesh's appetite is it wants to do wrong things, right? So, what if I'm going to say no to this appetite? Nope, I'm going to crucify my flesh. Nope. I'm going to say no to that, all righty? So, and we do that is, you know, the more you're renewing your mind, you will know what to say no to, all right? One more thing, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Athletes follow rules, right? Or else they're disqualified. Cheater, cheater, they're out of there, okay? Or lose, all right? Athletes follow rules, but we obey his word. We live it even if it's hard. You know, sometimes it is hard to keep my mouth shut, but nothing is impossible with God, right? It's not impossible, all right? And sometimes it's not fun to be nice when you just want to punch someone out, okay? But I can do all things through Christ. I'm being silly right now, but really, but we can do the right thing. We can, all right? So, this isn't one of those, preach it, Pastor D, woohoo, glory, glory. This is a challenging message, all right? It's challenging. And I challenged, like I challenged all over again, all right? But here's the thing. It will help us so that we can spiritually grow. You know, sometimes I am just tired of playing church. Just playing the part. So we need these challenging messages. I need challenging messages. I need the Word of God, all right? If we draw near to God and we want to grow spiritually, we want to nurture ourselves, we want to grow and have this stuff, we're going to have to feed our spirit the Word of God. We're going to have to renew our mind with the Word of God, and we're going to have to say no to the flesh, right? So I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to sing a song. Where's my guys? They're all so cute. I just love them. All right. So during this song, you know, this is where you just say, Lord, are there any areas in my life that I might have to recommit? Lord, resurrender areas of my life. It's just, you know, just in this song, just let the Holy Spirit talk to you, okay? So I want to pray for everybody. You can close your eyes and bow your head. I got it right this time, all right? Father, we thank you for the word. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father. We know it's challenging, and it certainly challenged us. But, Lord, we're up for your challenges. We're up for your challenges, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we help you, we ask you to help us to bring revelation to this word, that we will say, yes, I will feed my spirit. Yes, I will renew my mind. Yes, I will crucify my flesh. I pray for everyone here that this is the desire of your heart to say yes. Yes, I will train like an athlete. Yes, I will be disciplined. I will feed my spirit. I will renew my mind, and I will say no to my flesh. Amen. So I'm sure they have something really good picked out. Why don't we stand and just sing? While we stand, I'm going to have altar ministers, and you can come up at any time, and then we'll just see how the Lord wants us to go. If you need prayer, that's right. That's why.